This is On The Mark. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you're listening. Great to have you along. And we're bringing in Lights Out, Sean Merriman with me today. And you are an interesting guy, Sean Merriman. You retired, and now you're a NASCAR owner. You're thinking about jumping in the ring with Bellator. I'm guessing that you a little bit of an adrenaline junkie here, Sean Merriman. Is that fair?
That's an understatement. How else do you move on to something where you're used to making sacks against Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and them bone crushing hits? You know what it is? It's exciting for me because I, for one, get a chance to live out a dream and building a company like Lights Out, but also to make the transition into something I love. I mean, how many times do you get a chance to play in the National Football League for as many years as I did and now move on to something you love equally as much? And it's been great. These partnerships have been wonderful.
So hold on a second. You just said you love as much. I mean, are we talking about NASCAR? Are we talking about fighting? Because, I mean, football, that's like childhood, high school, college, pros, made you money. I mean, that's a big statement.
Well, it's what Lights Out. I mean, the company Lights Out, my apparel company. But to be involved in Bellator, and, I'm a huge MMA fan. I have been for, about 10 years now. Actually going on 11, back when I started in San Diego, training during the off season with MMA, trying to, just work on my hand-eye coordination and work on my, stamina, just, do some things better that was going to help me in football. And I ended up having a passion for it, and that's when that partnership with Bellator came about, the MMA league. And so, we had a great partnership there. And now with NASCAR, I'm like, man, this is an exciting time, not only for me personally, but for the company.
So did I see you in a stare down with Rampage Jackson? Was that accurate? Because I think I did.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And we look, if Scott Coker over at Bellator can put that together, I'll try to get some of Rampage one of these days. He got a big fight coming up against King Mo. Should be pretty good in Chicago. But if there's still something left from him after King Mo, I'll call Rampage up and I'll get some of him too.
Okay. Now, the actual apparel, the Lights Out brand, where did that creative genius come from? Did you, is somebody kind of guiding you along, or did you always kind of have that eye?
No, I always had that instinct when it came to that. It's a funny story. So my sophomore year in high school, I knocked out four opponents in one game.
Right.
And after the game, about 25 people come running up to me and they say, "Oh man, you knocked those guys' lights out." And just kind of cool and collected, like it was supposed to happen. I said, call me Lights Out. And that name had stuck with me all the way through high school and then through college and obviously through the pros. And I looked at it and I just felt that Lights Out was bigger than one person. I thought Lights Out was universal. Lights Out was teams. And that's what we've been doing. We've been building out MMA teams. We have a racing team with Jesse Iwuji. Right now is, making his way up the ranks in NASCAR in the K&N series. And, he's been a great guy to kind of lead the way and partner with.
See, and I've been following your NASCAR stuff here, and it's interesting, you're bringing some diversity to the sport. And I got to be honest, I was kind of wondering, does NASCAR really want some diversity? Because, at least it was in my mind at going to some events and seeing Confederate flags, that type of stuff. And here you are being really welcomed. So it was good to see that.
The open arms that that NASCAR has given us and myself and how they welcomed everything has just been outstanding. I've been a fan of NASCAR since 2008 when I was a Grand Marshal in Fontana at the Sprint Cup. And I watched NASCAR for some years on TV, and it was just, I knew the big names. I knew Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jimmy Johnson. I knew all the bigger names, but I never knew how exciting it was to be there. When I went to an actual NASCAR event, it just literally turned my lights on. And I couldn't even explain to people. Actually, I could explain it. They said, how was it being in a NASCAR? I said, it's equal to walking out and running out to in a stadium on Sunday to 75,000 people going crazy. That's how it feels being at a NASCAR event. At that point, I knew there was some great synergies with Jesse and his team and really just making our way through. And diversity has been a big initiative of theirs. And I think they've been doing a great job of just kind of expanding the sport into some eyes and getting it visible in the places that normally wasn't visible to. You know, I grew up in Prince George's County, Maryland. It was a predominantly black neighborhood, and where I grew up, and we just didn't have the access to go see see a NASCAR race. We didn't have that. So, I think that once certain young kids and minorities are exposed to it, I think that they will just fall in love with the sport.
Do you want to get in the car too? Have you gotten in the car? Because I got to do a trial at Indy once and two times around, and that was an experience. I mean, I kind of never really gave the sport that much respect, but that experience changed my opinion.
You know, if they got a convertible that they can fit me in, I think that or a hatchback is might be the only way I can get in. No, I haven't. I haven't been in one. I was supposed to a few times, but haven't. But I'm sure I will at some point. I know it's going to happen.
Fair enough. So, hey, let's talk about your Chargers moving to L.A. This doesn't sit well with a lot of Chargers fans. And to be honest, I mean, an NFL guy myself, the NFL belongs in San Diego. But I get the business aspect of it, but it's a little painful. How do you feel?
It is. It is painful. And it was heartbreaking to a lot of us. And it's funny. It's just kind of starting to settle in that the team is not going to be there in San Diego anymore. I even found myself recently doing some media and still saying San Diego Chargers. I mean, it's just hard to kind of get rid of that because there should be a team in San Diego. But, you know, I'll continue to support the team. I still have friends and players who I support on the team, and obviously they drafted me 12th overall. They changed my life and also my family's life, so I'll support the organization. But I have no hold back of being let it be known that I love the team being in San Diego and I didn't want them to move.
Yeah, and another team that's moving, I mean, that's the thing, like in L.A., they're Raiders fans, are they not? I mean, it's almost like welcoming the enemy. Am I crazy?
Well, it is because, well, I wouldn't say welcome to any because you have a lot of Raiders fans in San Diego, unfortunately. But, you know, you have a team here in L.A. that was just fine with the Rams being here. I don't think L.A. is ready for two teams just yet. The Chargers have an opportunity now. They have an opportunity to kind of win back a lot of fans, and that's obviously to go out and win football games and win early. Especially if the Rams are not doing well, you're going to have people that want to go see a winning team and be a part of a winning organization. So if the Chargers can come up here and win games early on, they can win back a lot of those fans, that kind of dropped off along the way when they made the move.
Okay, but it is L.A., right? And it's always beautiful, and there's the beaches, and there's a million things going on. It's going to be they're fighting uphill, are they not?
They are. But I tell you, winning cures all. I'm sure okay. You've heard that plenty of times, but winning gets people back in the spirit of supporting. You know, they want to come to the game to watch their team win. They want to, they want to tailgate. They want to talk trash at bars. They want to talk trash in the streets when they're going around just to be a part of a winning organization. So if the Chargers come up here and win, they can really take over the L.A. market and take it really away from the Rams.
What do you think about the Raiders going to Las Vegas? I hate that one more.
I don't like it. And this is the reason why I don't like it. I think the community of Oakland and the fans had to endure some bad years by the Raiders, and they had to come to the game and support when the Raiders were terrible, and just when they started to win, they want to get up and leave. And I don't think that's fair to the fans. I don't think that's fair to the community. I understand the financial aspects of it, but the fans don't care about that. The fans cared about coming to the game when they had losing seasons back to back, and they still had to support and show their love for the team. Now they having some success. They have a great quarterback there. They have a great team and young talent. They want to get up and move. And I don't think that should and will sit well with the fans at all of Oakland.
Yeah, just a reminder, Sean's brand, lightsoutbrand.com, if you want to check out what Sean's doing now. And we appreciate you joining us today, Sean. There's so much on the NFL here. Let me ask you about, you know, you've tested positive for a banned substance back in 2006. Here's my, and I know there's all sorts of keeping the game safe, keeping players safe, and people love to watch the quarterback, and so we want to keep them healthy, and I get all that. But I also get that football, to me, and I think to you and to really anyone with that's just rational about it, it's just a dangerous game. And part of the reason why we love it is because it's dangerous. So in my mind, you can have guys coming in the league, they sign a waiver. I know that football is dangerous. I know that when I'm done playing the game, I might not be able to walk it well. I might not be able to think as well. And then you don't have to protect everybody. And then as far as like banned substances go, whatever you can take to make you stronger, faster, feel better, I think it's okay. Like, why do we even have to have banned substances? Am I nuts here?
Well, yeah, because, look, you can. There's a lot of harm in taking banned substances. In my situation, I was taking a supplement that I had no clue when, you know, they put things in it. You don't know. You just think that something's going to make you have more energy, or you're going to heal faster, you're going to feel better. And you say, okay, cool, it's legal, so I'll take it. Well, it's not legal, and it could have harm and effects to your body. So I think the NFL is right by doing that. Also, you know, could cause injury to other people, you know, by guys having some type of advantage. So that's one thing. But two, I don't think you can sign waivers and say, hey, you could be potentially injured or have problems down the road, and you have to sign this waiver and you have no rights. That's just not going to sit well with anybody. And football is a violent sport, and you're absolutely correct that that's why we love it. You know, football is the ultimate gladiator, barbaric, violent sport that people line up to can't wait to see, and that's the exciting part about it. On the flip side of that, there is you know, some things you have to be cautious about. There could be injuries to the head or to the body down the road you have to be very cautious about. And I think the players, knowing that now, and I think that's the number one thing that people need to understand. Knowing these things about CTE is a possibility. Knowing these things, you could have injuries down the road. Let the players decide. And I would guess that you would have majority of guys still that would still play anyway, and me being one of them.
Yeah, I've heard you say that before, that you wouldn't run away from the game despite having numerous other interests, and it seems like you're going to be able to make some money in other ways too. You'd still go back and play the game, and I forget if you have kids or not, but you would encourage kids to play the game.
Yeah, and I have a six-year-old son. He plays hockey now. But when it's time for him to play football, you know, I will let him know of the possibilities and the dangers that could happen. But ultimately, it's his, you know, it's his judgment. It's his call. If he want to play the game, then so be it. You know, football is a great sport. And I've learned life lessons from playing a game of football. So I wouldn't deprive my son at all by not allowing him to play the game. But, you know, to have this knowledge, knowing that these things are a possibility of happening, is really what's key.
So, okay, let's go back in time then. You're 7 years old, you're 8 years old. Should you be playing tackle football, or should it be more like, I don't know, at least high school? Like, to me, that makes sense that you start hitting a little bit later.
Yeah, I would prolong the hitting and the physical part of the game as long as possible. I think the flag football is a great way to get guys going and get kids to understand the game of football, learning how to tackle properly, learning how to do these things properly, because a lot of this stuff starts from the youth. You know, the tackling properly. I mean, it was my job, and it was told to me to go and knock a kid out by any means necessary, and that was the way I learned how to play football. Now they have different initiatives to learn how to go and tackle properly. You know, LeVar Arrington, former Redskins and was a mentor to me, has a company called XP, Precision, Extreme Precision, and is teaching the youth how to tackle properly. Now, if I was taught, or many guys were taught to tackle properly as a kid, then I think a lot of those dangers will be out the window.
I like that. I like that a lot. We had Lance Briggs in studio a little bit ago, Sean, and he was talking about CTE openly, as far as, you know, he's scared and that he's taking school back in Arizona to keep his mind as sharp as possible, and he's super active as far as riding a bike every day and just being active, period, to try to exercise his mind. Do you have those concerns floating around in your own head?
No, you think about it, and you're not a fortune teller. You don't know what's going to happen when you're 40. I'm 32 years old. So you have no clue. So those things go through your head, but you know, you try to live a really good healthy lifestyle and stay active. That's number one. I see guys a lot when they're done they're done working out, they're done being active, and they kind of slouch and don't want to do the activity part. And to me, that's the biggest problem. You know, if you stay on it, maybe these things happen, but maybe you prolong them. Maybe you don't have to deal with them as much. Stay active, stay fit. You don't have to get in football shape. You know, you don't have to line up and play the Saints next week, but you know, stay active, and that's really important.
What do you think's going on with Colin Kaepernick right now? Is it people don't think he can play, or is it more of the off field?
I think it's the off field. But there's absolutely a combination of both, and I see people comment over and over again about what he did and things like that. It's not what he did; it became a distraction. And one thing about the NFL is they hate distractions, especially when you're not producing. And since he's not producing and the distraction at the same time, and not, you know, a bad distraction or did anything wrong, but it is distraction from playing football. And it's the reason why you're getting paid and the reason why you're there. It is distraction. So when you have the combination of not being able to produce and the NFL and teams and organizations are looking at you as a distraction, it's a recipe for failure.
But his teammates voted him for the Courage Award. It didn't seem like they were like, hey, get out of this locker room. They actually appreciated Colin. So I get that there's media asking questions, but the guys in that locker room, they had to answer the questions too, and it seems like they're backing Colin.
Yeah, but I think you have to understand that who backed him was his teammates. His teammates don't cut him a check. You know, his teammates don't pay him a salary. So as a teammate, I would support my teammate as well. But if you're an owner of an organization – or if you're in the front office, your whole point of being there is to put a team together so you can win games. And if you have a guy there that's not winning games for you, and also in their eyes or in some people's eyes a distraction off the field, then that's just not going to mix with a locker room. You know, you have to have either one. You have to be able to produce on the field and have those distractions, or you just don't produce and you have these distractions and you don't have a job. And that's what's going on with him right now. It's not what he did. It's any kind of distractions. Go rewind back and pass with T.O. or Chad Ochocinco with any kind of reality TV shows or anything like that. Chad was still producing when he had these shows. The second he stopped producing and he was still an off-the-field distraction is what got him out of the National Football League, not anything else.
It's all true. So you don't think he's going to get picked up?
I think he'll get picked up. He'll be in a camp situation where someone goes down and they need someone to come in to play, or they just need a strong, secure backup. I don't think he's going to be a focal point of any team anymore. I think he'll be a guy that comes in off of the bench and kind of had to work his way back into a position. But he won't walk into a locker room as a starting quarterback, no.
All right, let's spray into all fields here. I got one random question here because you played at Maryland. You're an East Coast guy originally. You got any problem with Maryland being in the Big Ten? Because, you know, we're in Chicago here, and I just witnessed the Big Ten tournament for hoops being out in Washington, D.C., Sean, and I'm not good with that. This is rooting my childhood, this whole the East Coasters coming in here. But don't you just want to be in the ACC? That's where you belong.
No, I think first of all, it was tough for me because Maryland was in ACC for what 60 plus years or whatever it was. So you always looked at them kind of as an ACC school until you get this thing fixed in your mind and they finally moved to the Big Ten. I think it was a good move, not only financially but recruiting purposes for Maryland to move to the Big Ten. Not every five-star recruit is going to be able to go to Michigan or Michigan State or Ohio State. You know, these guys have five-star recruits every year. But I think it's good for a guy to be a four-star or a three-star to get recruited and go to play, play at Maryland and have the opportunity to compete against the guys who are five-star recruits and play on the big stage. So I thought it was a good move for them to do that. And hopefully – the talent level is able to pick up on the football side where we can go out and compete against the bigger schools.
All right. Here, let's – fair enough, I guess. I will not belabor my Maryland to the Big Ten point. All right, let's go – I like to do the – to wrap it up, the top three tweets. I go through your Twitter, Sean, And so at Sean Merriman on Twitter, if you're not following him, you're not living your life the right way. So I pick out three here, and I want to know what's underneath the tweet. Number one I'm choosing here, LeVar Ball, who's everywhere. You tweet, LeVar Ball is putting his son in a hole that he's going to have to dig himself out of. I mean, this is dad gone wrong to the max here, but he might get his son paid more. I want to know what you mean by digging himself out of the hole.
Well, first of all, as great as he is as a college athlete, he hasn't done anything in the pros just yet.
True.
That's first and foremost. I think LeVar Ball has also come out and said some things, you know, to LeBron or about LeBron, in which he might have had a valid point. But the truth is, you know, leave him and his family out of it. That has nothing to do with anything. You handle your family. You have a son that's a great basketball player. You concentrate on that. Two, I just don't appreciate when some parents kind of vocally live through their kids. His son is a star. His son has been the one that's worked hard and got there. I have a six-year-old son, and I want, when it's his time, I want it to be his stage, and I want it to be about him. I don't think LeVar Ball has given his son a chance to do that just yet, and I think he's living in the limelight and spotlight of his son, and I don't like it.
No one has ever lived in their son's limelight to this level. Like, Richard Williams, Venus and Serena, you never really saw him. You saw him a little bit. I mean, Tiger Woods' dad, you didn't see. This is unprecedented, completely unprecedented. I can't remember anybody doing anything like this. So, all right, here, next tweet. I can't tell you how much football has taught me about life. I'm thankful for the game. What if you had to boil it down, what did football teach you?
You know, just about adversity and obstacles. You know, I went through some years where I had some injuries. If you brought up a situation when, you know, I got suspended in 2006. Those were some really hard times and difficult things for me to deal with that I had to overcome. I mean, I remember coming back and playing in the Pro Bowl that same year and then going to the Pro Bowl the year after. Those were some really hard things to overcome, and that's what life is about. I mean, it's, you know, overcoming obstacles and being able to bounce back and getting back on top and getting back to places you need to be.
Yep. I love the Michael Jordan quote around that one, too. I failed. I missed however many shots. I failed. And that is why I succeed. It's a great one for really anybody doing anything. All right, so you got one more here on sort of life's process. You shouldn't be scared of failure. You should be scared of not trying. So the way I look at, like, the fear of failure, I think, like, everyone is afraid of it. Like, I'm afraid right now that this interview is not going to go well or whatever. But, you know, but you got to, like, lean in and do it. It's like fear is a great guider. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people who don't try, you know, they go time and time past and they look back. And they say, damn, I should have did this, or I should have did that. And they kick themselves more than the people who did something like, oh, man, I sucked at that. You know, I'm terrible at that. I should have done that. And I think the people who don't try are the ones who regret more than anything in life than the people who say, you know what, I did that. It didn't work out for me. I wasn't that good at it, or, you know, wasn't smart of me or whatever. And you can say, hey, I did it, and I gave what I had at it. But the people who do absolutely nothing are the most regretful people you'll come across.
No doubt. Three-time Pro Bowler, now doing work with NASCAR, with MMA, and, of course, you remember him on the field with both the Chargers and the Bills. Lights Out Brand. Also, if you want to check out what Sean's doing, lightsoutbrand.com. Sean, we appreciate the time.
You got it. Thank you. Don't forget to pick up your Lights Out stuff, your Lights Out Brand tees in Tilly this May.
Get after it. Get her done.
You got it.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you.